Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. Two media houses were closed down by members of the National Security today in Juba.
AMDIS hereby condemns this act as it infringes flow of information and undermines the development of media in South Sudan. AMDIS appeals to the authorities concerned to reconsider this move and allow the paper to be reopened as soon as possible.
And thousands of people take part in what appears to be a government-sponsored protest against the IGAD Plus peace deal.
At this juncture, we strongly condemn and reject points which read, one, the 53% in the power sharing allotted to the opposition in the Greater Upper Nile will later result to the separation of one country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. One of South Sudan's leading English language dailies, the Citizen newspaper, has been ordered by the government to close publication. The paper's editor-in-chief, Nyal Bol, says he was given just hours' notice not to print today's issue of the popular newspaper.
Actually, yesterday at 4 p.m., a security officer who I know at the National Security called me and told me that he have received orders from above that we should not come out today, and indefinite, we will not come out until when the problem is resolved.
Bol says the security officer gave no reason for the shutdown, but Bol says he suspects an article that the paper ran on August 1st may be behind the government order to cease publication. The article was about compromise peace deal brokered by the regional bloc IGAD and its partners.
I went around yesterday talking to individual security officers, and what I found out was that they are blaming us for having run some news item which are supporting the proposed agreement between the rebels and the government.
The compromise peace deal has sparked protests around South Sudan, as you will hear later in the show. The government says the deal gives too much power to the former Vice President Riek Machar's rebel group in Unity, Upper Nile and parts of Jonglei States, which has been hardest hit by the 20-month-long conflict. President Salva Kiir's government also rejects a clause in the deal that would allow two armies during the more than 10 months of a transitional period, and another clause that calls for Juba to be demilitarized. The two warring sides are supposed to resume negotiations on the proposed deal this week. The expanded international mediation team known as the IGAD Plus has set August 17 deadline for a final peace deal to be signed. Bol says he has some hints that the government does not want newspapers to write in favor of the deal.
Actually, I have been getting some indirect information for the last 1 week that the government is telling us we should not campaign for peace agreement to take place because of the government position.
The Association for Media Development in South Sudan, or AMDIS, says the order for the Citizen newspaper to close its doors is the latest slap in the face of South Sudanese journalists. Veteran journalist Alfred Taban chairs AMDIS. Reading from a statement issued by the media watchdog and development group today, Taban said,
AMDIS hereby condemns this act as it infringes flow of information and undermines the development of media in South Sudan. AMDIS appeals to the authorities concerned to reconsider this move and allow the paper to be reopened as soon as possible.
The Juba Monitor newspaper, which Taban edits, was ordered to close earlier this year after it published reports that the government said were against the system, Taban told South Sudan in Focus in January. Last year, security officials confiscated copies of the Citizen newspaper after it published a story about a proposed federal system of government for the country. The government said it is against federalism, at least for the time being. The report was prepared by Waki Simon Wudu for VOA in Juba. Another media group was shut down today by South Sudan's National Security Service. Hildebrand Bailey-Left is the director of programming at Free Voice, a media development NGO. Bailey-Left says heavily armed members of the National Security came to his office and ordered the staff to leave the Free Voice compound immediately. Bailey-Left says the closure of the non-profit media group offices will affect other broadcasters, including the Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus radio program.
They did not explain anything on the reason why they were allowed to close or to put a lock on the door. There was no warrant, there was no court order, nothing. There was nobody imprisoned or detained or called to the office, as far as we know. That was happening just a day after another media house, the Citizen newspaper, was also closed in Juba.
What did Free Voice do that made the government unhappy?
That's actually for us also a question. You know, Free Voice is producing this drama series, Sawa Shabab. Now, it's very popular. Many, many radio stations in South Sudan are broadcasting it. People are responding to it. It's popular. It's really high quality. It's about peace. It is about life skills. It is about living together. There are other projects of Free Voice with children. We're supporting local media stations. So, yeah, there is nothing actually what should concern the national security in terms of national security, in terms of danger provided by Free Voice.
And how about Radio Tamazuj? Who runs Radio Tamazuj?
Radio Tamazuj is not run from the Free Voice office. It's a complete independent project. It's in the past, Radio Tamazuj was actually based in Abyei even, and they had only one liaison person in Juba. But after the independence, Radio Abyei developed into a full-scale South Sudan radio station on shortwave. Aired from outside South Sudan, because South Sudan is too big to cover by only FM. So Radio Tamazuj is covering mainly the border zone between between Sudan and South Sudan. They had people in Juba, they had people everywhere in South Sudan. So, but it's a complete different organization, different management, different funding, everything is different.
How will the closure of your office affect the programs you were talking about, like Sawa Shabab and the other projects that you're running in South Sudan?
Well, if it is a definite closure, what we do not expect, simply because we can't see any reason why it should be definitely closed. Probably it might delay some of the production. Of course, many programs are made in advance, so it will not directly affect anything for the partner media. But yes, if it would be closed definitely, yes, and then that would be more difficult to produce these programs inside South Sudan or in Juba. But I'm not expecting this. I'm expecting that after they clarify the reason behind and we get some more details from the authorities, then that they will reopen Free Voice without any restraint.
Are you sharing your office with any other, you know, non-governmental organizations in South Sudan that might have been affected by this development?
In the Free Voice compound, it's quite a large compound. There is, besides the Free Voice media house and the administration of Free Voice, there is also Sawa Shabab soap series, what is produced there. And also Voice of America has its office there. So those people are now not able to enter their premises. And so we hope really that soon will be solved.
And is Free Voice a registered entity in South Sudan? Because some people might say you're not registered and hence they want to see your papers.
Recently, only a couple of months, we were questioned by the authorities on the certificate of operations. So Free Voice presented all its legal documents and as a result, the certificate of operations was extended and by the Ministry of Justice and by the National Development Organization of the government. So Free Voice is completely legal as it was from the very beginning. Nothing has changed and it is extended again for another year. So there is no problem, no legal issue there. Also for your information, media houses, according to the media law, are not obliged to ask permission from the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting. It's explicitly mentioned that media houses are independent, and only if you want to broadcast on radio FM, you have to ask for a license from the Ministry of Telecommunications. Otherwise, there is no need for asking permission, because the government wants, based on the Constitution, to safeguard independent journalism. And so that is why also Free Voice, like all the other NGOs, are not required to ask permission from the ministry to do any media activity.
That's Hildebrand Bailey-Left, the director of programming at Free Voice, which was ordered to stop operations today. Bailey-Left was speaking with me from Holland earlier today. As you just heard, South Sudan in Focus reporters who work out of the Free Voice compound in Juba are affected by the closure of the NGO. Our reporters were ordered to leave Free Voice Juba compound immediately. We made several calls to Michael Makui, the Minister of Information, for comment, but he did not pick our phone. Hundreds of citizens in Juba, Western Bahr al-Ghazal and Northern Bahr al-Ghazal took part in what they call a civil society-led protest condemning the IGAD Plus proposed compromise peace agreement, but others wonder if the government did not plan the event. The protesters say there were state civil servants, government officials, students and civil society groups. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from WOW.
The protesters walked from WOW Stadium to the UNMIS compound, where they delivered a list of complaints about three articles in the IGAD Plus deal. At the UNMIS gate, the protesters chanted "One country, one army, one nation" as they hosted banners that read "Lion's share to the rebels in Upper Nile will split our nation." While many acknowledge the proposal could finally bring peace to South Sudan, they oppose the way demilitarization of Juba is set up under the agreement and the way power sharing would occur in the Upper Nile region, where fighting is still continuous between government and rebel forces. One of the protest organizers is Santino Uyu.
At our amazing, we realized that there were some burning uses in the IGAS document which will fuel up the conflict if they are agreed upon. At this juncture, we strongly condemn and reject points which read: 1. The 53% in the power sharing allotted to the opposition in the Greater Upper Nile will later result to the separation of one country. 2. Adoption of two armies during the transitional period will create mistrust among the two armies. 3. Demilitarization of the capital city will deprive the country from her sovereignty.
Some protesters say many citizens don't know what is in the proposed agreement, but newspapers and radio stations have been reporting that Juba City will be a so-called white zone or demilitarized zone, and that Upper Nile would be under the rebels' control. Local media outlets have also reported that under the agreement, two armies would coexist during the transitional period. Margaret Franco, a civil servant in WOW, fears the oil-rich Upper Nile region could be lost to Sudan, which is why she joined the protest.
If they gave Upper Nile special consideration and those people took Upper Nile to part of Northern Sudan, what will be the future of the South Sudan? Would be a problem. And we are now here to give our opinion about that, to see if they can look on it to make some changes and they give the Upper Nile to be one under the president of the South Sudan.
Many activists with civil society organizations like Stephen Robo, state coordinator for the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or SEPO, say they were not informed about today's protest.
SEPO never received an official invitation to attend this protest. Second to that, we don't know who is organizing the protest itself. Those are the major area where, so we thought if there's anything, there will be a right channel of passing information, that is through the coordinator of the CSOs. And the CSOs, they have to meet and discuss to see which kind of message that they want to send.
While SEPO has indicated it has a few reservations about the plan, it does not believe street protests or public declarations are the way to go. Robo says the compromise agreement requires thoughtful debate rather than chanting on the street.
The CSOs agree that the power sharing should be nationalized, not only be at the national level, that is a cabinet level, and then a panel state. Also, the CSOs raise a concern about the position of the speaker. And they say, okay, this is of regionalizing things, always it create problems. So they are suggesting that this of a speaker should be left to the parliamentarians to choose the capable candidate. Also, we look at this of security arrangement. Security arrangement, we thought is that it is important for the two warring armies to be, you know, in different barracks for the reason of, you know, we are looking for security reform.
In Juba, was much of the same. The banner-waving protesters kicked off their march from the headquarters of the National Police Service and ended at the National Parliament. One banner read, "One army, not two. Respect the blood of our martyrs." Akuch Ajang is one of the organizers of the Juba protests.
"We have organized this peaceful demonstration to show our disappointment on other unhelpful proposed solution in the compromise peace agreement and urge the IGAD Plus to reconsider the draft proposal agreement to review it properly to meet the will of the people of South Sudan."
Ajang says parts of the IGAD Plus agreement would not restore peace and stability in the country.
"We are rejecting third-party military army forces for force to protect capital city Juba. The power sharing in Greater Upper Nile State or at the state level, we reject federal governance in interim period."
The protesters also oppose allowing two armies to coexist during the transitional government. Negotiators for President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar are mulling over the IGAD Plus deal. The leaders of both sides are being pressed to sign an agreement later this month. U.S. President Barack Obama and others have warned the leaders of more sanctions to come if a deal is not signed by August 17th. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio reporting in WOW.
Abraham Agor in Awil and Waki Simon Wudu in Juba contributed to this report. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a new vaccine for Ebola. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you like to wear traditional clothing? Why or why not?
I think we're in the 21st century in Africa, and I don't think right now most of us relate to what is traditional. We're a progressive country, so I think we have grown up knowing that what the Western way of clothing is our tradition, I think.
Yes, I like to wear because I look more of an African person and I feel good.
Yes, I do, because they define who I am. At the end of the day, the traditional which I inherit from my family or my grandparents, they're the one, those little traditional, they're the one which will define me at the end of the day. So I prefer wearing it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about a vaccine for a deadly disease. The World Health Organization reports the world is on the verge of a highly effective vaccine against the deadly Ebola virus. WHO says promising results have emerged from a clinical trial on an Ebola vaccine just over 4 months ago in the West African country of Guinea. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The Director General of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, says the initial results of the clinical trial of the vaccine in Guinea are exciting and promising.
If proven effective, this is going to be a game changer. It will change the management of the current Ebola outbreak and future outbreaks.
WHO-sponsored clinical trials of a Canadian vaccine called VSV-EBV, developed by Merck Pharmaceutical Company, began in Guinea on March 23rd. The test proved so effective, the trial was stopped on July 26th to allow all people at risk to receive the vaccine immediately. The WHO says more than 4,000 close contacts of almost 100 Ebola patients voluntarily took part. WHO Assistant Director General Marie-Paul Kini says the data so far show that none of the 2014 people vaccinated developed the Ebola virus.
Now, of the 2,380 people who constitute the control group, 16 developed Ebola virus disease. So we compare 0 to 16. So this analysis translate into a protection of 100% so far, because 0% vaccinated developed Ebola virus disease.
A British medical journal, The Lancet, published preliminary results and analyses of the data on Friday. The Data and Safety Monitoring Board, an independent body of international experts that reviewed the test results, advises the clinical trials should continue. However, very few cases of Ebola remain in Guinea, so the trials cannot be conducted as before. The board recommends everyone connected in some way to an infected person should be vaccinated immediately. Since the experts say the vaccine has proven to be safe, WHO says the trial now will also include adolescents and children as young as 6. Dr. Kini tells VOA there will be more outbreaks of the Ebola virus in the future, but this new vaccine holds out the possibility of controlling the spread of the deadly disease.
So there will be more outbreaks. What we hope is that they will be detected early and much earlier than what has happened in this outbreak. And then using a tool like this vaccine would be able to stop the epidemic going really wild and spreading further.
Dr. Kini says with the development of the Guinea vaccine and others that are in the pipeline, the world will never again see an Ebola epidemic like the one that has killed more than 11,000 people in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Five 500 young Africans are here in Washington, D.C. to learn how to be the next leaders of tomorrow. They are taking part in the second annual Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders all this week. They are learning business and entrepreneurship skills as well as civic engagement. As we hear from South Sudan in Focus reporter Ayen Bior, 5 South Sudanese are among this year's fellows.
Riek James Tor practices law in South Sudan. He is particularly interested in poor South Sudanese gaining access to justice and proper representation, as well as education on their legal and human rights. And that's why he applied to be one of the Mandela Fellows taking part in the summit. He says he is looking forward to telling U.S. officials about what's going on in South Sudan. He hopes to use the experience to help his people back home.
I'm going home in the next 1 week or so. So it means I'll be able to rally other youth, sit with them, share with them my experience, and it also means that I will be able to do my job that I'm doing already.
President Barack Obama addressed the fellows in a town hall meeting at a Washington, D.C. hotel yesterday. Tor says he felt inspired by the president's words.
Our hope is that 10, 15, 20 years from now, when you've all gone on to be ministers in government or leaders in business or pioneers of social change, that you'll still be connecting with each other, that you'll still be learning from each other, and that together you'll be reaching back and helping the next generation. That you'll not only be making a difference in your own countries, but you'll be the foundation of a new generation of global leadership. A generation that's going to be working together across borders to make the world safer and more prosperous and more peaceful and more just. That's my hope for you.
Dor says being one of 170 South Sudanese applicants chosen to take part in the summit is a big honor for him. He says he hopes to put what he has learned to work back home, where the two warring parties have yet to reach a peace deal. In the meantime, he says the youth can keep government officials accountable by making their communities aware of their rights.
My plea to the people of South Sudan and also to youth in particular is to keep their eyes on the negotiations that are happening. So they will hone that peace when designed, and they will make sure that nothing happen again to drill the path of the development that South Sudan will undergo.
Dor says his country has a long way to go if it wants to be a developed nation that provides opportunities for youth. But he says nothing will happen if it cannot attain peace first.
Suppose there is peace in the entire country. I mean, South Sudanese could have gone far, and by now, right after independence, they would have gone further. So, yes, the experience right there is a little bit tough, but you have to focus and know that the country is yours.
The summit ends tomorrow, but Dor will stay in Washington to speak to U.S. members of Congress about the plight of South Sudanese people. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudan's Citizen newspaper was shut down today by the national government. The paper's editor-in-chief, Niall Bol, says he was given just a few hours' notice not to print today's edition. He says a security officer called him to say he received orders from above that he shouldn't arrive at the paper's office today until the problem is resolved. No reason was offered, but Bol says he believed the government action has to do with a recent news item in the paper that was supportive of the IGAD Plus compromise peace deal. Armed security officers also shut down the Free Voice media compound today. The Free Voice compound is where the Voice of America operates an office in Juba. Thousands of citizens from Western Bahar Ghazal, Northern Bahar Ghazal, and Central Equatoria states today took part in what appeared to be government-sponsored protests against the IGAD Plus proposed deal. While many protesters said the proposal could finally bring peace to South Sudan, they say they oppose IGAD's power-sharing arrangement, the plan to allow two armies to coexist during the transition period, and the demilitarized zone in Juba. Protests were held in Juba, Awil, and Wau, among other towns across the country. Members of civil society organizations say they were not informed about the protests in advance, even though organizers said the protests were sponsored by civil society groups. And finally, the World Health Organization reports the world is on the verge of a highly effective vaccine against the Ebola virus. WHO says promising results have emerged from a clinical trial on an Ebola vaccine begun just over 4 months ago in the West African country of Guinea. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Carol. And that's the end of our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song We Want Peace by Emmanuel Jarre.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm looking for some people who's looking for peace. Maybe together we could make the war cease. Now we can send mankind to the moon, and we can reach to the bottom of the sea. That's why it really kind of baffles me that we cannot end wars and bring peace. And we cannot change the way people act, and we cannot change the way people think. So if we sit back, chill out and relax, civilization will soon be extinct. That's why I am calling on the whole wide world. Come on, people, would you help me? Let's scream and shout, cause we want peace. To say the least, I dedicate this song to the common people caught in the middle of this common evil. I wish the world was a little bit better. Time to start looking at the man in the mirror. The devil policeman. Fear make good genocide with Hitler so he can. Feel a war of genocide and love was weakened. Lighting up the land cause nobody was speaking. That's why I am. I'm calling on the whole wide world. Come on people, would you help me?
We have been listening to Emmanuel Jarre with the song We Want Peace. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
And after Rwanda. Yeah.
and not far from Rwanda. Who's gonna shout for the poor people living in Darfur? The world gone deaf, the world gone blind.